Have a moment. If you do, look around. What can you see? What do you see there? There's a TV set, mobile phone, car, truck, vehicle. How have those things changed over your lifetime? And you can now read your newspaper on your telephone. Teachers don't always rely on chalk and blackboards. They deliver on tablets and smart whiteboards instead. What does the future look like? Oliver Freeman is the author of Future Vision, Scenarios for the World in 2040. Oliver Freeman, good afternoon.
Hello, Chris. It's lovely to be with you.
Thank you very much for talking to us this afternoon. Let me ask the big question right off the bat. Can we actually predict the future?
The answer is easy. We can't. and I don't try to do that. Just tell me, Chris, is this very echoey as I talk to you?
It is a little bit echoey, but we'll persevere for a few minutes to see how it goes.
It's interesting. I'm working in Melbourne in a building called The Hub, which is a new sort of collaborative work centre where people come and with their, you know, their laptops, and it's a communal kind of area. And it's an interesting development because this kind of development is beginning to show up in cities all around the world as people detach themselves, as it were, from traditional ways of working and start working in new ways. Anyway, it's a very noisy building, so in order to talk to you, I had to work my way down into the bowels of the building and find somewhere relatively quiet. But because there's no furniture in the room I'm in, it's a bit echoey, which I apologise.
We can understand what you are saying, and that is the important thing here on radio, so we'll go with it. There's a difference, and I think a lot of people perhaps don't realise what the difference is between predicting the future or trying to predict the future and planning for the future.
Yes, and you're spot on. And one of the issues, you know, if you think about what's been happening in Australia in the last 2 or 3 days with the budget and the surplus or the lack of surplus and the black hole, the problem that Wayne Swan and his colleagues have got themselves into is that they bought into the idea that they could predict a surplus sort of 2 years before the event. Now, the reality is you can't. There is no way, you know, the forces which make up whether Australia has a surplus or not are very complex, and they don't all reside in Australia. We're part of, you know, global issues relating, for example, to commodity prices. So, you know, as soon as you sort of start introducing these big driving variables that we don't control, you're in a world where it is impossible to predict. And the thing the government did wrong was to think that it could predict. And what we do in the work we do is to say, look, don't get into that predictive kind of mode. Why don't we move to a place where what we try and do is to anticipate what the future might be like and to have worked out, should the world move in that direction, what we need to do about it. So your point about planning is central to the sensible work that a good futurist does.
Now, in Future Vision, yourself and Richard Watson have used scenario planning to paint 4 different pictures of the world in 2040. Where did the ideas come from?
Well, we were interested in thinking about the future. You know, you have to start sort of making the task a little easier. But we were focusing on the future for Western democracies. So, you know, for countries like Australia and Canada and most of Europe, etc. So we weren't really thinking about what's happening in what we call the BRIC countries, like Brazil and Russia, India and China. I mean, they have their own spin on the way the world's unraveling. So anyway, so we narrowed things down a bit. And then we said to ourselves, well, what might it be like in 2040? What might be the key drivers of change, which will mean the world is like this or that or something else? And we, Richard and I, settled on 4 key sort of human attributes. And they were fear and greed and intelligence and prudence. And we then built 4 futures around those ideas. So we had a world which was full of sort of chaotic kind of activity with imploding economies and an environment that's gone really wrong. And we called that world Helter Skelter. We then had another world which was quite different from that, where, you know, the big problems that we all are aware of today, like problems relating to climate change and global economies and all those sorts of things, where we were saying that essentially there's another quality of human beings, is that we're really, really bright, we're intelligent, So, you know, why don't we think about a future in which we solve these problems because of our intelligence? And we call that future imagine. So those are two of the four futures. They're quite different from each other. And the other two were more sort of run by other things. There's one run by greed, which is the sort of future that's a bit like the world for the last 20 years or so, where people tend to just follow their own interests. They're a bit selfish and looking after number one. And, you know, the focus on increased the expansion of consumerism and increased sort of economic growth, that's that sort of future. And we then counterpoise that with our fourth future, which we called Dear Prudence, which was about, you know, it's the Earth Hour future. It's where we start thinking carefully about the use of natural resources and thinking about ways in which we can create a much more sustainable world. The only problem, I think, with that last world is it's a bit boring, even though it has virtue. So anyway, we built these four alternative futures to get people to begin to think about how they might contribute to the future themselves in the way they live their lives.
It's funny because once I read those scenarios, I thought, I'm going to listen to those four Beatles songs, or, well, the John Lennon song and the three Beatles songs.
Yeah.
And I've actually done it. I've got some little cuts, and I think what I'll do is I'll just play that here. Just take, if we can take 45 seconds out, I'll just play those here because they do relate very well to the feeling encaptured in the songs.
Imagine there's no heaven. Susie.
I still remain convinced that I'm not taking the right medication to appreciate the song Helter Skelter truly as well. But let's just move along. Those are the four scenarios, and they do in many ways relate very strongly to the titles you've given them there, Oliver Freeman. Can I ask which one you think is the most likely?